Welcome to the Center in the City podcast. I'm your host, Wade Brill, and during this series, I'll be interviewing various thought leaders, wellness experts, and humans on how they practice sustainable self-care and mindfulness. We'll get real and raw, talk about the light and the shadow side of self-care and mindfulness, and how we can actually stay centered amid the chaos and the hustle and bustle of our modern day world. So settle in and get centered. This podcast episode is brought to you by Centered in the City, a virtual on-demand self-care and mindfulness platform with different meditations, journaling prompts, nourishing recipes, and Pilates flows, all designed to support you feeling calm, focused, and energized as you live your life in this modern day world. For more information, head on over to centeredinthecity.com. and claim your 7-day free trial. Welcome back to the Centered in the City podcast. My name is Wade Brill, and I am so glad you are here. Today on the podcast, during the solo episode, we're going to celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month by sharing one practice. That's right, this one practice you can do to support your mental health. Now, this practice isn't easy, but I promise if you practice it, it will change your life. Before we get into the meat of today's episode, I want to remind you that the Solstice Silent Meditation Retreat is just a few days away from closing our applications. So if you've been craving a way to reconnect with your life, to feel more connected to your body, to gain more clarity about what you want to do in your life, your career, with relationships, to just even feel more grounded in who you are and where you are, I welcome you to apply now. The link is in the show notes, as well as you can head on over to centeredinthecity.com and check out the Solstice Silent Meditation Retreat in the menu section. I'm beyond excited to create this curated event for you because there's nothing else out there in the market like it, and that is why I created it. I wanted it to be a short and sweet enough weekend where you could actually fit it into your lifestyle, into your budget, and support you detoxing from technology and practicing being more present in your life. So I can't wait to join you. If this is resonating to your heart, or you know somebody in your life that would love to do this with, or you just want to even share this with them, feel free to give them the information at centeredinthecity.com. Now let's settle into this episode and let's get centered. So here we are in May. It is Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's interesting because April was Stress Awareness Month, and you know, they are so related. In my Wait a Minute newsletter this month, we talked about defining mental health for yourself because there's so many definitions out there. According to the World Health Organization, mental health is a state of mental well-being that enables people to cope with stress of life, realize their abilities, learn well, work well, and contribute to their community. Mental health is a continuum, meaning it's not like you have a mental health disorder or you don't. It exists on a spectrum. So there's varying degrees of struggles people have: high anxiety, high depression, low depression, concentration abilities. And of course, everybody's mental health, we're affected differently. And our ability to cope with what we're experiencing in life also depends on skills and how we were raised and the type of social support that we're given, as well as our genetics and our inner constitutions. Years ago, before I even became a coach, I realized how much anxiety I had. And I thought that it was just me. I thought that having anxiety around test taking or just managing time and schoolwork and the pressure of life was just something within my own constitution. And once it started to become talked about in media and out in the public, normalizing anxiety and how many of us manage anxiety, it started to make me feel so much more confident about my mental health and my ability to handle the stress of life. Sometimes it comes up within my one-on-one coaching sessions that a client is like, I want to get rid of my anxiety. I don't want to have it. And I say to them, we probably won't be able to do that because, to be honest, we never really get rid of any of our anxiety. However, we start to change our relationship to our anxiety so that the anxiety isn't the one on the driver's seat. And instead, we have more perspective and resources and capacity to see a bigger picture than our anxiety. So it's not necessarily wrapping us up and controlling us. So pause here and I welcome you to think about, how do you define mental health? What is your relationship to mental health? I personally like to define mental health as this awareness, ability to focus, to manage our self-talk in helpful ways. I ask these questions in my Wait a Minute monthly newsletter that I think would be really helpful to pose to all of you. Our mental health is not a one-size-fits-all, so defining it for yourself, I think, can be really important. The next question is, how do you know when your mental health is optimal? What I mean by that is, how do you know internally? What are your thoughts? How do you speak to yourself? What do you notice is the pace of your thoughts or even your temperament internally? And then also, what's happening externally in your life? What's going well that you notice is affecting your mental health, is contributing to your mental health being in an optimal state? What's happening in your career, in your relationships, your overall health and well-being? For me, one of my personal signals when my mental health feels optimal and balanced is when I am moving from not my mind, ironically, not from my thoughts, but from this inner felt sense of alignment and conviction and direction. When I feel like I'm expressing myself through my creativity and just through this like balanced level of gratitude and ease as things are flowing in and out, and there's not gripping to situations or expectations or trying to over control situations. So I welcome you to take a moment and pause or grab your journal and explore, how do you know when your mental health is optimal? And next, I welcome you to explore, how do you know when your mental health needs some more tender love and care? What's going on internally within your self-talk, within your own body, within your energy levels, within your focus? And what's happening externally in your life that is giving you some signals of, huh, we could use a little bit more attention or support here. Support meaning reaching out to a therapist, a coach, friends, internal, like, oh, let me connect back to some of my rituals or my practices that I know really help me. One of my signals for myself when my mental health is off is when I am not clear about my direction, when I notice I'm caught in swirls of analysis paralysis, or do I go this way? Do I go that way? Where do I put my energy in my business? Self-doubt starts to get really loud. It's really hard for me to focus. I also notice my mental health when it's out of whack is when I'm putting too much attention and weight on what feedback I'm getting externally. So what are other people telling me? What's happening in my life? Am I getting a lot of reaches out for connection or a lot of likes on social media or interactions through the podcast or my newsletter? When I start to get wrapped up in external value, oh, that is a big exclamation mark of, Wade, time to get recentered. I shared at the beginning of this episode one practice that's essential for your mental health, and I'm going to expand it into two because I really do believe they're co-supportive of each other. So when our mental health needs some tender love and care, which is not a bad thing, I just want to make sure that's super clear, because we are humans. We are naturally going to go in highs and lows. And I think one of the things that we want to be practicing, and something that I know I've practiced in my own life, it's something that I also bring a lot into my coaching, is how can the highs not be as high and how can the lows not be as low? So we're feeling a little bit more balance with the flow of life. So the first practice that's really necessary, and you probably aren't going to like it, this is the one that I said is not necessarily easy, but it's the practice in acceptance. So often when our mental health is off, when we're experiencing extreme anxiety or depression or wherever else in the swirl of self-doubt or negative self-talk, or just dealing with a lot of stress and overwhelm, one of the most important things we can do for ourselves is to practice acceptance. To say to ourselves, wow, right now it's just like this. Wow, right now I'm feeling really overwhelmed. Right now I'm having a hard time managing all that's on my plate. Wow, right now I notice the self-talk feels really loud and negative. When we can just call out with a loving sense of curiosity and even just a little bit of distance, like this is happening right now. This isn't me, but this is just happening right now. We can feel the temporariness of it. We acknowledge, we're saying to ourselves, this matters. You matter. What you're experiencing in this moment is meant to be felt and then meant to be released. And a lot of the time we skip this step. I know I want to a lot of the time. I want to skip acceptance because who fucking wants to accept what feels uncomfortable, what feels unpleasant, what feels irritating, what feels like the opposite of the reality we want to be in? Acceptance can be challenging. And I share this because I want you to know you're not alone if it feels challenging for you in whatever mental health state you might be in. For some people, things might be actually going really well. You might have just gotten an award at work or been notified for something or reached a certain big goal. And accepting that you're there might be even hard, because you've been so conditioned to constantly be in this is not enough and I need to be doing more and more and more. So it could even be a pleasant experience that you might be preventing yourself from actually receiving, fully receiving and acknowledging. So when we can say a sentence or a phrase to ourselves or a mantra of right now it's just like this, or right now I'm feeling really overwhelmed and overloaded, we are acknowledging what's here. We're acknowledging the suffering. And when we can acknowledge that there's pain or unpleasantness or tension, that's when we can actually let go of it, where we start to release some of the resistance, the extra suffering, the extra tension that we can add when we resist reality. When we ignore reality, when we stay delusional or wrapped up in stories or prevent ourselves from feeling what we feel or saying what we want to say, we are dimming a light within ourselves. We are shutting a door to a present moment experience that just wants to be acknowledged, right? Think of a puppy dog or a regular dog as you're walking down the street. They want to come sniff at your ankle. They're sniffing everywhere around them. And not that you have to fully engage them, right? But there's a sense of they just want to be like acknowledged, connected to, seen, and then moved on. It doesn't necessarily have to be this whole big thing, but so often we just resist our feelings or our experience, and that creates the suffering. That then creates the tension where this dog might want to start barking or start scratching because it wants some attention. It wants some actual engagement. So when we can just gently look at it or pet it or allow it to sniff us, or we sniff it back, I don't know really where this analogy is going, but it's just coming to me, so I'm running with it. We it gets to be processed. There's an engagement that happens, and then we can separate from it. The second piece that I think is so vital to our mental health, and I was going to just say one, but I really do think we need the second part, is the practice of gratitude. There's so much research out there on the mental health benefits of practicing gratitude. For instance, it builds some inner capacity to handle life, right? It builds our inner resiliency. It helps reduce stress. It helps reduce inflammation in the body. There's so many benefits. Gratitude really helps train our mind and our thoughts. So once we practice accepting, being with what is in the present moment without needing to change it, without needing to make it right, wrong, good, or bad, we then can welcome in gratitude. And gratitude helps us train our mind to look for what's right, what's working, what's a gift. Where can we actually rest into the simplicity of the moment and just appreciate what's here versus needing to, again, fight reality and be with a place of where we wanted it to be, or it should have been like this, or I wish this could have happened, or why won't I be here yet, or da da da. One of the biggest enemies we have in life is our mind. And I say that because our mind can just make up so many stories and so many things and gallivant in so many different ways that we need to take control. They're a wild horse that needs to be wrangled in. So when we can train our mind with gratitude to start to focus and challenge this negativity bias that we're hardwired for, to look for what's right, what's good, what's working, it starts to open our mindset to look for more of that instead of the critical mindset that can pull us down and spin us away from our authentic true self. Gratitude connects us to our hearts. It connects us to our heartbeat. It connects us to our humanness. And it reminds us of these beautiful little glimmers and delights that are happening in our lives all day, every day. And gratitude reminds us that we're not alone. Gratitude for our baristas. Gratitude for the stranger that smiled at me on the street. Gratitude for our family members, right? We can really recognize how supported we are in this bigger world, especially when we can get into a loop of feeling alone or not enough, or coming back to a place where, you know, our mental health and self-talk isn't feeling optimal. And just like everything in life, like when we really ground into reality, nothing is immediate. I know when we've gotten so conditioned, when we use our apps to order something and we can customize whatever we want and it can be here within an hour and we can order food from all these places, like we've gotten so conditioned to have these immediate results and these immediate places of feedback. That's not necessarily the case when it comes to our mental health. It's a continued practice to check in on our mental health, to check in, to notice what needs to be adjusted, what needs a little bit more tender love and care, what actually feels stable and we actually feel in balance or flow, to maintain our mental health, or even when it needs a little splash of tender love and care, can we come back to these two practices of acceptance and gratitude? Acceptance and gratitude. And notice what that does for not only your mind state, but your heart state. How does that affect and support you showing up and being able to do the work that you care about, be the person that you want to be? The world is a really challenging place right now, and we all need to be taking our personal responsibility to manage our mental health, so that we can keep showing up for each other as a community and to keep doing the work to support our larger world. I hope you took away some helpful nuggets from today's solo episode. I'd love to hear what's resonating for you. What are your favorite mental health practices? share with me on social media, join the conversation at OneWade on Instagram, or send me an email in the show notes. If you found this episode helpful and supportive, take a moment to send it to a friend that you care about. Let's support each other, all normalizing and prioritizing our mental health. Thanks for being here as always, and until next time, stay centered.